Well, Africa.com is running a story at the moment of an orphanage in Malawi that is run and operated by Chinese. And the children who are of Malawian birth are being taught Chinese, Buddhism and martial arts. How does one, I suppose, navigate the collision of those two cultures? Joining me on the line now is the editor of Africa.com, Soko Sibiya. Soko, it sounds like a very complex, complicated recipe for potential disaster if you don't handle it very carefully.
Good morning, Africa, and to your listeners. Exactly. It's basically a narrative or a story about when two cultures collide. You know, when we describe it, it sounds good. You know, you're learning a new skill, for example, you're learning martial arts, you're learning a new language, you're getting a new experience. And I think everybody wants to have that type, the type of teaching or that experience. But what's happened in Malawi, which is a story I think that's happened across the continent, you know, when a certain group of people, for example, open up orphanages, especially in Africa, this has really happened in Africa, you find that that group then erodes the group in which they're taking in the culture. So Buddha in Africa is a documentary that was produced last year in 2019 and looks at, as you said, how Malawian orphans have basically been taught a new culture, and in doing so, they have lost their own culture. So they've lost their language, they've lost the ability to interact and to communicate within the communities in which they come from. It basically follows a boy named Enoch who went into this orphanage, but now can't assimilate back into his own culture because now he doesn't know his own language. He no longer knows the cultural practices of his own language, and he's basically stuck in limbo because he's neither Chinese nor is he Malawian enough. And I think this is a story, as I said, that's across the continent, where we find when a lingua franca is introduced into a community, for example, you find the children especially suffer the most because you are taught to only speak that language in order to be more proficient in that language. And you find then that those children cannot relate to the members of that community. We have it here in South Africa as well, whether it be English. In West Africa, you find it as French, for example. And in other countries, you find that then the vernacular or the indigenous language gets eroded because now more and more children lose their mother tongue in favor of what is now the lingua franca.
And what's complex for me about this particular story in Malawi is that here is an organization and a generosity, quite frankly, of people who then open up an orphanage, because orphanages are needed in Malawi. We know this. We know this very well. Offering their generosity and kindness and gesture to the people of Malawi. Clearly, the condition then is that those who are within the orphanage will be taught Chinese, Buddhism and martial arts, therefore taught the ways of the Chinese people. How is it sort of looking a gift horse in the mouth kind of scenario? Because if I were a Malawian government, I would obviously grant permission to somebody to start an orphanage, but I would really make it clear that those Malawians are then exposed to their own culture primarily. Nothing stopping the owners and the runners of the orphanage of saying, this is what is great about Chinese culture, but that should not be their way of life when they are, in fact, of Malawian birth.
Exactly. You know, it's basically repeating the cycle that we've come from. They always speak about how China is the next colonizer in Africa, for example. And what's happened now is that instead of opening up institutions or programs, as you mentioned, where you balance these two, because yes, it is a good gesture, as you said, but it needs to have a balance. I think we're at an age right now, especially as Africans, where we want a balance. We want to be recognized for who we are. We want our cultural practices, our languages to also get the same prominence, you know, the same reverence as other cultures, for example. We don't want to erode what's yours in place of someone else because they're being charitable. And I think this is the balance that governments need to basically find, that when you do accept such gifts, you know, say that in inverted commas, you need to really find out and put in place that, you know, when you operate within a country, how are you, do you actually maintain or actually even promote, you know, the cultural identity of a nation, for example. And, you know, this is what's happened, especially in Rwanda as well, where at some point they decided, you know what, let's make Kiswahili our lingua franca. Let's change every single thing. Let's, you know, let's reteach people in terms of what should be the dominant language. And it can be an African language, for example, where we start taking pride in our own, in ourselves. And I think this is what needs to happen with governments, that when we do accept such aid or gifts, we need to set the rules and make sure that you don't lose yourself because you're accepting a gift.
It promises to be an interesting documentary. Thank you very much, Soko Sibiya, the editor of Africa.com. And that's where you'll find the film titled Buddha in Africa, where it follows an orphan, Enoch Bello, who was taken into a Chinese-owned and run orphanage in Malawi, where he was exposed to Chinese languages, to Buddhism and martial arts, instead of his Malawian culture or language. Soko Sibiya joining us, of course, again tomorrow morning.